At least this evening, I haven't carefully considered tomorrow, next two evenings before Nityananda's appearance day, but this evening I'd like to take you on a pictorial visit to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in relation to the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, describe his special significance, with the understanding that with Lord Chaitanya comes his principal expansions, so it'll help make his Lord Nityananda's appearance even more meaningful in that setting. In 1896, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a vision, or in following the vision that he had of the wonderful teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya being known by the world, he wrote a small book, something ...50 pages long, small book, The Life and Teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a summary, very quick summary, highlighting the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the flow of the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur expressed in terms of his classic Dasamula Tattva, the 10 essential teachings that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the world. So his wish, at a time when even in India the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were obscure, who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Even among scholars, to a degree, even at present time, but through the agency of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's efforts and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's efforts, and most importantly, Srila Prabhupada's efforts and the followers of Srila Prabhupada, the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has become more known. But many people, if they do know of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have some idea that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a saint, a very elevated sannyasi who exhibited and taught wonderful life of bhakti. But our understanding is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different than Krishna. And there's vast scriptural authority to help us understand that. But even with the scriptural authority, one may not be discerning, just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. In Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying in his home, and the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he understood that he's the personality of Godhead. But his very, very, very scholarly brother-in-law, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, didn't see him that way. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was inquiring, who is this young sannyasi? Just a mere lad, 24 years old, with such beautiful golden features. Who is he? What family does he come from? And he described, he's the son of Jagannath Mishra. Oh, Jagannath Mishra. I know Jagannath Mishra. My father was his grandfather's dear friend. Oh, Nilambar Chakravarti. I know Nilambar Chakravarti. Very dear friend of my father's. So, he has some identification with him in terms of caste. He's a very elevated Brahmin young man. And yet he was exhibiting transcendental symptoms of love of God. And so when Gopinathachari was referring to him as the personality of Godhead, Sarvabhaumacharya challenged him and said, my dear brother-in-law, be careful now when you speak of somebody as God. That's a very risky thing. And what authority do you know that he's God? And he gave scriptural authority and scriptural authority and scriptural authority. And he said, but what is the need of all this scriptural authority? You yourself tested was his trance feigned or genuine? And you not only saw that his trance was genuine, you know this Leela, Mahaprabhu was unconscious in trance. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took little strands of cotton, fiber, just fiber, and held it before the nostril of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if he was faking, he could see the movements of air as he was breathing in and breathing out. But there's no breathing in, breathing out. His life air was suspended. Trance. He said, and you're such a scholar, you know it's not even an ordinary trance. It's a stage of Mahabhava that no ordinary person could ever even experience. So with the scriptural evidence and the physical evidence, still you don't know. Because you have no faith. You haven't yet received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. May that day come when you receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you'll understand. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, my dear brother-in-law, please don't become angry. We're just having conversation here. Later it came to pass. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he became a Vaishnav. And then he could understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was none different than Krishna himself. When he had that internal faith and realization, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed him his Sadbhuj form. Very famous Leela, very wonderful form, six-arm form. The two hands of Krishna holding the flute. Two hands of Ramachandra carrying the bow and the arrow. And two hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holding the danda and the kamandalu of a sannyasi. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fainted unconscious before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu having exhibited this form. This is not going to be a class of establishing all of that scriptural evidence and storing, building your faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although it's certainly a wonderful path to go down, describing the divinity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we'll just go forward with inviting you to read Chaitanya Charitamrita and the understanding that our great acharyas have presented, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same as the original personality of Godhead. It's described that Krishna, according to scripture, Krishna in his original form in Goloka Vrindavan appears only once in every day of Brahma. In every day of Brahma there's 1,000 yuga cycles. And that's a lot of time. One yuga cycle is 432,000 times 10, 4,320,000 times 100, 432 million years. I mean, how do you think of 432 million years? How do you, that's just so many zeros. And once in that period of time, Krishna in his original form, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna appears. The other 999 Kali Yugas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna doesn't appear in that original form. He appears in the Vasudev Krishna form, showing Krishna in his full feature of opulence in the spiritual sky. But Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, once every day of Brahma. And that with Krishna appearing in the prison house of Kamsa, appearing in his Vasudev Krishna form, assuming the childlike two-handed form, and Vasudev carrying him across the Jamuna River into Gokul. And then he exhibits his Vrajalila. And when people think of Krishna, they mainly think of Krishna in his Vrajalila. They don't so much think of Krishna in his Mathura Lila or his Dwaraka Lila. They think of Krishna in his Vrajalila. Often Gopal, the cowherd boy, or his childhood, very small childhood pet, Ladu Gopal, the Damodar Leela, Damodar Krishna Leela. But they're unique pastimes. And in that same day of Brahma, in the 28th yuga cycle of the 7th Manu, which is where we are now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appears. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, listen carefully, he's not an expansion of Krishna. He is Krishna. It's Krishna himself. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. The form of Radha and Krishna are manifested in one form as Krishna in the mood of Radha and in the luster of Radha, the complexion of Radha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's complexion is golden and his mood is that of Srimati Radharani. One entity manifests very, very rarely in this world. And just as the abode of Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan, is the summation of all of the abodes of the Lord in one form, because Krishna is the original source of everything, so his abode is also the source of all abodes. And because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different than Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's abode is also the source of all abodes. Within the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Navadvip, we will find all of the places of pastimes, all of the holy abodes within Navadvip. But the abode of Navadvip is called the crest jewel of all holy places, for yet another reason. And that other reason is that even in comparing Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Krishna manifested his pastimes in Vrindavan, all of the opulences of Narayan were present in him, but in addition, the sweetness of his transcendental pastimes are also there. Just like those of you that know Nectar of Devotion, there are 64 qualities of Krishna, most prominent qualities. Four of those 64 are not found in the Vishnu Tattva forms, and one of them is this one, this unparalleled sweetness of the loving pastimes that Krishna exhibits in his Braja Leela. So Madhurya is so strong that it eclipses his Aishwarya. And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, the same Aishwarya and the same Madhurya are there. But there's an added feature that's so strong that it eclipses his Madhurya and his Aishwarya feature, and that's his Odharya feature, or his munificence. Just by hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by chanting his name, by remembering his pastimes and his loving associates, there's enormous spiritual benefit that one can receive. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can receive the mercy of Krishna. And without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one is not going to receive the fullness of Krishna's mercy. He'll help one to gain entrance into the mystery of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So therefore, Navadvipa is called the crest jewel of all holy places. We wouldn't know of any of this without the mercy of our beloved founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, so we'll offer our prayer and dedication to Srila Prabhupada for that purpose. This is a very rare photograph. It's the deities of the original Radha Madhava that were presiding in Mayapur during the time that Srila Prabhupada was there. I say pastime, they were the presiding deities of Mayapur because these deities were stolen. Those of you that have been to Mayapur, you know that as you just go inside the front gate, to the left there's a grass hut, and there they have a 24-hour kirtan in memory of Srila Prabhupada residing there. Well, Srila Prabhupada resided there in one part, and Radha Madhava resided in the other part, because there was no temple. All there was a grass hut for Krishna to stay in. Prabhupada had the vision to build a temple, and he surely did. But for some time, it was just a grass hut. The children are distracting. Very sweet. Children love kirtan. Before class, during class. No distinction. Kirtaniya sadahadi. Jinanivas described that he was staying with Srila Prabhupada, he joined the Hare Krishna movement around the time that Mayapur was first purchased. He was residing in the Calcutta temple, and when Prabhupada wanted a pujari, he was drafted. He had never worshipped deities before, and so he went to Mayapur at the request of Srila Prabhupada, and he stayed in the grass hut with Radha Madhava and worshipped them. And he described that because there were no other deities anywhere, whenever there were programs, Radha Madhava were taken to, because they didn't know the difference, they just took Radha Madhava to this program, that program, because, you know, huge crowds of people would come to hear the devotees chant and present Krishna consciousness. So one time Prabhupada attended one of these programs, and there were Radha Madhava on the stage, and Prabhupada looked at the deities and said, Janadivas, is that Radha Madhava from Mayapur? He said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And so he said, never should they leave the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Radha Madhava. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune who resides in the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. He's never to leave. So after that, he never left, at least not voluntarily. But after the temple was built, these Radha Madhava deities were so attractive, particularly Radharani was very golden in color. So some of the village people thought, maybe she's made of gold. So one time in the dead of night, they went onto the altar, snuck into the compound, went onto the altar and stole Radha Madhava. The pujari woke up when that happened. They called out very loudly, and all the devotees came running, because it's the nature of Bengal. You don't, you know, anything could happen at any time. So they ran. And the dacoits ran, and there was gunfire. And some of you know Bhakti Raghava Maharaj. That's when he lost the leg. His leg was hit with a shotgun blast as he was fearlessly chasing after the dacoits to get Radha Madhava back. And Bhavananda took a gun and fired it in the air, and soon as he did that, it was over. Now, the deities were taken. So other deities that are on the altar, you'll see, if you look very carefully, on Radha Madhava's altar, you'll see a little picture. It's a picture of the original Radha Madhava that used to be in Mayapur. So seeing this photo is very, very rare. But if you happen to be world travelers or go to America sometime, there are two other deities that are exactly from the same mold. Three deities were made, Radha Madhava in Mayapur, Radha Gopi Ballabha in Boston, and the, I don't know their names, but the presiding deities, Radha Krishna deities in the San Francisco temple, now in the Berkeley temple. So very same as the original Radha Madhava deities. And both the teachings of Lord Chaitanya as well as the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya were restored to our vision and our cognizance by our great acharyas. Because especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at his time, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had virtually been lost, at least in their pure form. They were deviated forms of those teachings. But the original pure teachings had been lost. One of the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a book describing the 13 principal upasampradayas. D deviated sampradayas of different versions, this one, that one, that one, this one, that one. And in one of the pranam, so he became very aware of what was the real thing, what was the deviated thing. One of the pranam mantras of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is also attributing the fact that apasiddhanta dvanta harine, he eliminated the influence or diminished the influence of the impure teachings and brought forward the pure teachings. And not only the pure teachings, but the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, including even the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll give a little description because we're going to be seeing pictures and visiting the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur shifted from Puri to Krishnanagar to in his government service, because he was a grahastha, he was employed by the British government in the very unusual elevated role the British generally didn't give to local people, but they gave to Bhaktivinoda Thakur because he was so expert. The high court judge sitting on the bench wearing tilak. He didn't worry, what will people think if they see me in tilak? And, you know, is it okay if I eat vegetarian food? Because people may not be used to that. He didn't concern himself with convention. He concerned himself with representing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a pure way. And he was greatly respected for that purity of his personality. So, when he shifted to Krishnanagar, he became, of course, he had a vision. He was, at one point he had left Puri with the plan, I'm just going to go to Vrindavan and live the rest of my life in Vrindavan. He just left. And in the course of his travel, he had a dream. And in his dream, Lord Chaitanya told him, no, don't go to Vrindavan now. You can go there later. But I want you to establish my places of pastimes in Navadvip. They're lost to the world. This is a service I want for you. Please accept. It wasn't a no, it was a yes. He changed his plan, went back to Puri, and made this arrangement to go to Krishnanagar in government service. So while in Krishnanagar, he absorbed himself in the literatures of the generations that followed, just like following Srila Prabhupada's life, many literary personalities have written books describing about Srila Prabhupada's life, and if you were to read all of those books, you could piece together the events of Srila Prabhupada's life. So same happened with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There were many literary persons that wrote wonderful books describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and teachings. And he read them very enthusiastically. And as he was reading, he was struck with the fact that consistently the literatures described that the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or the house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi, were on the eastern side of the Ganga. And at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was understood that the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the western side of the Ganga. It didn't match. And then he read one literature called Ananta Samhita. Ananta Samhita's fantastic literature. It's a detailed description of Navadvip and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from thousands and thousands of years ago. It's a detailed narration of everything. And in this Ananta Samhita, he read that thousands of years ago, it was predicting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear. After his departure, the Ganga would shift in such a manner that the whole of the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes would be submerged under the Blessed Mother Ganga for 200 years. The timing was there. And then the Ganga would shift back. So he studied the ancient maps and saw, sure enough, previously the Ganga was over there. And then the Ganga was covering the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes were. And then the Ganga shifted. Even during my short time of visiting in Mayapur, I've seen, when we, those of you that have been to Mayapur recently, you know that when you go out the front gate and go down the road a little bit, you can go right to the ghats, and the ghats will take you to the Ganga. And you're on the Ganga and off you go in a boat down the Ganga. But there was a time when it was at least a mile away. You had to go from Bhaktisiddhanta Road down a steep incline and walk for almost a mile just to get into the Ganga. But then the Ganga shifted. So that was the situation according to Ananta Samhita. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur began considering this place that's called the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's today the city of Navadvipa. They had the whole thing. They had the house of Jagannath Mishra and the neem tree and so many things. But the city of Navadvipa itself is only about 200-250 years old. But the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 500 years ago. So how is this? And events and events and events started leading him to the conclusion that that was not the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. There's another place somewhere on the eastern side of the Ganga. One evening, he was in Navadvip, and from the veranda of the Dharmshala, Rani Dharmshala, in which he was staying, he had a vision. And the vision was, he saw from the distance a very tall, huge, towering, effulgent building. Well, there's no buildings over there. It's just rice fields. He brought one of his relatives. Look, his relatives saw it too. It happened again the next night. So he marked the spot from where he's standing to where he saw that huge, towering building. And when he went there, all he could find was a place where the local Muslim villagers, who were agriculturalists, considered that piece of land to be useless because it wouldn't grow anything. Whatever they tried to plant in that piece of land, it wouldn't grow. Not even eggplants would grow. That means you can grow eggplants almost anywhere. They're very hardy vegetables. There's only one thing that would grow. Tulsi. This land is useless. But the local very elder Brahmins, he consulted with them and said, is there something special about this land? They said, yes. This is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, because the local villagers considered it useless, he was able to purchase the land for a very modest price. And then he had the plan to build a temple. But to confirm that this was in fact the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He invited him to come all the way from Vrindavan at the age of, in his late, 130 years old. Is there anybody you know that's 130 years old? By the time he reached this place, He was 135. He was so old he couldn't walk. He had to be carried in a basket because they didn't have wheelchairs. They just carried him in a basket. And when he reached Jagannath Das Babaji, very famous episode, when he reached that very spot, he leaped out of the basket and started dancing. This is it. This is the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. He confirmed. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in turn, he instructed his son, continue this work. Build a wonderful temple for Lord Chaitanya at his birthplace. And establish where the other places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes were. You're a great scholar. I'm giving you this service. And he told him that by performing Navadvip Parikrama, the whole world will be spiritually benefited. Just do that. This is the faith of those that are saintly in character. How to benefit the world is to act in pure devotion, glorifying the personality of Godhead. The whole world may not directly participate in that function, that activity, but much like the sages of Naimisharanya, they wanted to benefit the world. And so they went to Naimisharanya and performed a yajna. The intended yajna was going to be for 10,000 years. Excuse me, 1,000 years. 1,000 year yajna. And the whole world would benefit. Similarly, that was the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Bhaktisiddhanta. Perform this Navadvipa Parikrama. And the whole world will receive transcendental benefit. So here we are, off in Hyderabad, in the basement, benefiting from that instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta to Bhaktisiddhanta. And then in turn, Srila Prabhupada, of course, carried forward the same mission, establishing an international society for Krishna consciousness, an international guest house, and the, you know, how Mayapur has changed. Those of you, when you go today and you see for the first time, and you see, it has changed so much over the past 15, 20 years. By many, many pilgrims coming and taking benefit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his transcendental teachings, what to speak of when the temple of Vedic Planetarium, by God's grace, finally begins and is established. When we think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches us that we should think of Lord Chaitanya in five features. In fact, Prabhupada published, when I was a new devotee, he published a book called Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. I didn't know, how is that? Five Features. Very bold preachers are acharyas. To help us understand who is Lord Chaitanya, we need to understand Lord Chaitanya in these features of Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, and Shivas Pandit. The manifestations, it's the first seven chapters, excuse me, six chapters of Adi Leela, taking that much volume to express, describes these Panchatattva features and their sub-branches from the main branches of the Panchatattva. They're devotees and followers of each of these manifestations. To Lord Chaitanya's right, Lord Nityananda is the first expansion of Lord Chaitanya, just as Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna. And Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu, also in the Vishnu Tattva category. Then Shakti Tattva as Gadadhar Pandit. And Jiva Tattva as Shivas Pandit. These expansions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu make up the fullness of the Tattva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The personality of Godhead is complete in the form of his various expansions, and therefore we have our Panchatattva mantra. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. They are most merciful, and so most merciful. Now where I'm seated, I don't even have the instrument. I don't have a laser pointer. So in the middle, the Navadvip is called Navadvip because it's nine islands. At the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, the branches or the tributaries of the Ganges literally made islands surrounded by the tributaries of the Ganges. And the shape of those nine islands was like the shape of a lotus, with eight of the branches being like the petals of the lotus and the ninth being the center, the corolla of the lotus. And that center is Antardweep, as you see on the left-hand side, Antardweep. And each of the nine islands of Navadweep, they represent or they manifest the nine processes of bhakti in their principal feature. Just as, so in Antardweep, the Atmanivedana, that is surrendering everything to the personality of Godhead. Atmanivedana, full surrender to the personality of Godhead is manifested. And similarly, each of the nine islands, in their fullness representing the features of bhakti. If you look closely at this map, you can see where the Jalangi goes kind of east or northeast, and the Ganga, they flow together. The Ganga is flowing, they're flowing in a southerly direction. The Ganga goes in the northwesterly direction. So our Sridham Mayapur is in Simantadweep. It's in Ritudweep. It comes down like that. But just a short walk from the front gate of our Chaitanya Chandradaya Mandir, short walk and you're in Antardweep. So here's a color picture so you can see even better how the nine islands are positioned. This is a nice painting illustrating where we come to know of so much of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's from a book called Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. It's a historical account of Jiva Goswami, pictured here in the foreground, who was taken to all the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes personally by Lord Nityananda. The history was that the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, had a third brother whose name was Anupam. Anupam's son was Jiva Goswami. When Jiva Goswami was still just a young boy, his father died. Anupam died. And so he stayed at home and was raised by his mother. When he was a young man, with the permission of his mother, he wanted to go take shelter of his two uncles, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, in Vrindavan. She gave her blessing for him to do that. On his way, he wanted to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sridham Mayapur, Navadvip Dham. When he went, by the Lord's arrangement, Lord Nityananda was there. And Lord Nityananda gave him his full mercy. He personally, in great ecstasy, took him on tour of the nine islands of Navadvip, showing him where Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes and describing those pastimes. And it's all recorded in a book called Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. And it's an amazing book. There's a companion literature that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote Navadvip something, Pramanaks Kanda, something like that. It's a book where the scriptural evidence for each of the pastimes of Mahaprabhu is found. Another amazing literature. And in the background, the artist has depicted this Adbhuta Mandir from Ananta Samhita, this amazing temple. Tall, golden temple seated on a lotus, just as Ananta Samhita described. So that's the vision. This is some sharing with you. Prabhupada, during our time, he didn't say this Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He didn't give us any of that. He just told us he wanted us to build this wonderful temple. Tall dome temple. So tall, you'll see it from Calcutta. And the plan is to be so tall, you'll be able to see it from the buildings in Calcutta. To honor the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he understood, if persons can simply come here to the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, they will become purified. The whole world will become purified by coming to the sacred Dham of Navadvip. That was a vision. How do you... if imagine yourself being a world acharya for a moment. I know it's a stretch of the imagination, but... imagine you're a world acharya and your mission is to bring auspiciousness into the dark age of Kali. Now what would you do to do that? Because you're the world acharya, you're limited, although maybe empowered as Prabhupada was empowered, but still limited. This age of Kali is so dark and so rampant, moving so swiftly, what to do? But if they can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to get them to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Well, one way is to take from Navadvip the holy name and spread it all over. Another is to bring people from all over to the Navadvip. But build a beautiful, magnificent temple. Let people come and get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the world in this way can become purified. I was just in Tirupati, and in the morning they read the book scores, and it's just amazing how many books are distributed in Tirupati. And I was discussing with the devotees, said the people from all over India go to Tirupati for pilgrimage. So you're distributing books to the whole of India. They said, no, Maharaj, the whole world. Because in Puri, they don't allow foreigners to go into the temple, and people know that. But in Tirupati, they allow. So from all over the world, persons come to Tirupati, and we distribute books, and they go back, carrying the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was Prabhupada's vision also. Not only an Adbhuta Mandir, but the temple of Vedic Planetarium. It was a big part of Prabhupada's strategy for bringing educated people from the West who believed in science, and that science was an obstacle for them to have faith in the Vedas and the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to build this fantastic temple and the temple of Vedic Planetarium that will show them, according to these ancient scriptures, exactly the configuration of this universe. Amazing. And I have some devotee friends who are involved in that project, and it's so challenging. They're thrilled at trying to meet the challenge. But, you know, to in three dimension, to show accurately what the Srimad Bhagavatam says about the structure of the universe and get it right. So that the puffy-wuffy scholars from all over the world can come and they'll say, oh, this is a good, you've done a good thing. Because otherwise, you know how puffy-wuffy scholars are. They'll just criticize. You've done a bad thing. Nice try, but you blew it. So they're determined, and very, very strong team of devotees building this, the plan for the planetarium. In this Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, it describes the places where Mahaprabhu would go each day with his associates and perform Nam Sankirtan, particularly Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, but also all of his associates. This is a verse from Sage Prabhuda speaking to Maharaj Nimi in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam that you've all heard. We can chant it together. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. So the verse is saying that this age of Kali, intelligent persons, Sumedasa, perform congregational chanting of the Lord, Yajyai Sankirtana Prayayar, to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. And the verse is saying that he is Krishna himself, Krishna Varnam. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, although his complexion is Akrishna, not blackish like Krishna. His complexion is golden. And when he comes with his associates, Sangha, his Upangas, his servants, his astras, his weapons, and his confidential companions, Parshadas. To assist him in the mission of inaugurating the Yuga Dharma. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that with his associates through the islands of Navadvip. Simple village life, taking care of cows and the land, Vaishya community, just like in Vrindavan, strongly. But the congregational chanting of the holy name became a prominent feature of life in Navadvip by the association of Mahaprabhu. And by giving this congregational chanting, he was establishing Krishna Prema for all the residents of Navadvip. So we'll offer this prayer together. Namo Mahakaryaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tushe Namaha. We're offering our obeisances to the Supreme Lord Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself. Why? Because he is bestowing freely what no one has ever given or offered before, pure love of Krishna. to the chanting of the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed this love of God through the chanting of the holy name. He personally tasted the ecstasy of love of God through the chanting of the holy name and inaugurated the Yuga Dharma, beginning in Navadvip and then gradually through other parts of India and through his followers and associates throughout the world. It's a picture of Mahaprabhu in Gambira in Jagannath Puri, where the heights of ecstasy of love of God and the bodily transformations and the states of consciousness that he experienced were unprecedented in the world. Just amazing. Read in Chaitanya Charitamrita and it's historical accounts that are just amazing, beyond human capacity. So this is Antardweep, where we're going to see the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As it says here, this process of Atma Nivedana of the nine processes of bhakti are fully exhibited in the Shikshastakam verse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks of full surrender unto Krishna is exhibited. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays that, my dear Lord, you can do with me whatever you like. You can embrace me. You can neglect me. You can trample me under your feet. You can do with me whatever you like. And I remain your unconditional servant. And it's in this place, in Antardweep, that the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is found. Here's a photograph of the temple that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established at this tract of land that Bhaktivinoda Thakur found as the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. I'll tell you a little story. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so bold that he requested the British government to establish a post office right across the street from this temple and call it Sridhar Mayapur, the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. And there was a big contention because the other people across the river were saying, no, that's not, we are, because that would take away their revenue, right? All the people that would come to the birthplace of Mahaprabhu down there, they would lose their income. So they had a big, no, you can't do that. So Bhaktisiddhanta, he was just a young man, he was in his 20s. He persuaded the British government, you send an officer that will examine all the reasons why we accept this as the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, and then you decide whether you put the post office there or not. So they did. They sent a, you know, Sir somebody or other, Bentley something something. And he studied all the reasons that Bhaktisiddhanta placed before him, and he opened the post office, Sridhar Mayapur post office. Even to a worldly man, he was convinced. The design of this temple, you'll see some other buildings in Mayapur that look very similar. The Samadhi Mandir of Gorkishor Das Babaji also was designed by Bhaktisiddhanta. Looks very similar in architecture to this. This is the main altar. As you're looking at the deities, and we'll go one by one to the altars. On the left-hand side, Radha Madhava, along with Mahaprabhu. The name Radha Madhava is important, as I mentioned, Prabhupada described to Jananivas, but it's in Ananta Samhita. It's because in this Yogpith, the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, this is where the goddess, the husband of the goddess of fortune resides. This is Radha Madhava. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, when the Chatur Shloki verses of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam are presented, it's Lord Brahma, after his long penance and austerity, while he's seated on the lotus flower in complete darkness, all of a sudden the whole spiritual world is manifest before him. He gets off his lotus flower and enters into the spiritual world. And he comes into the presence of the personality of Godhead, and that place where the Lord sits is called the Yogpith. And surrounding the Lord are all of the personified Vedas and his eternal associates. So Radha Madhava, very significant name of the Lord, who resides at this central corolla of the lotus of Navadvipa. In the middle altar is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Gaurasundar, and on his right side Lakshmi Priya, on his left side Vishnu Priya. Because during the earlier pastimes of Mahaprabhu, he married Lakshmi Priya at the request of his mother and father. Because his elder brother had left to take sannyas, Mahaprabhu, to pacify his mother, said, "Don't worry, I'm your son, I will stay here and take care of you." So in that mood of submission to his mother, she was pacified. She requested that he marry, he accepted. He married Lakshmi Priya. But in the course of his being a teacher and traveling, he made some extensive travel into now Bangladesh, and while he was gone for a long time, his wife, Lakshmi Priya, according to Chaitanya Bhagavat, died being bitten by the serpent of separation. So when Mahaprabhu returned, there was his widowed mother, without her son, and the daughter-in-law deceased. So after performing the funeral rites, he submitted to his mother that she could make an arrangement for another marriage. And so she did, and that was Vishnu Priya. And not too much longer after, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu married Vishnu Priya. This marriage is, these are goddesses of fortune, they're direct expansions of the Lord's internal potency. They're not ordinary living entities. So Vishnu Priya became his wife. When Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, he gave her a deity of himself to worship, which she worshipped for the rest of her life, and is one of the wonderful places to visit when you visit Navadvipa, Dameshwara Gora in Navadvipa. In the front of, let's take a look. You see, at the feet of Mahaprabhu, there's a black Shila. This is a close-up of that black Shila. If you pay a few rupees, they'll bring the Shila out, give you a close-up look, and even let you take pictures for a few more rupees. Of the original Adhoksaja Vishnu Shila that was worshipped by Jagannath Mishra. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was digging the foundation for this temple, the Yogpith temple, as they were digging and digging and digging into the layers of the Ganges mud, they found this Adhoksaja Vishnu Shila. Because for hundreds of years, underneath the riverbed of the Ganges, layers of mud were being piled up above the place where Mahaprabhu was born. So Archaeological evidence that it wasn't even close. It was exactly the very place where Mahaprabhu lived is where the temple was built. Exactly. And this is the original deity worshipped by Jagannath Mishra. And to the right-hand side is the Panchatattva and, of course, Lord Jagannath. This is the very place, not the very tree, because the tree was underwater, but the very place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived and the place where he was born, underneath a neem tree. The wife of Advaitacharya gave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the name Nimai. The reason was there was then the understanding in Bengal at the time that neem has medicinal purposes, but neem is also understood as being protective. So the first 8 children of Mother Sachi, shortly after they were born, they died. So the wife of Advaitacharya, in order to invoke benediction upon this child should live, she called him Nimai. And so he became known as Nimai Pandit when he became a teacher and a scholar. This is the local people, pilgrims that come to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They offer their respect to the neem tree, giving shelter to Nimai Pandit. This is the Murti of Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi at their birthplace. This is another dress of the same Murti with baby Nimai on her lap. Now, looking at my watch, it's 8:20. What I had wanted to do this evening, I'm not going to get to do because I've been talking too much about other things. So tomorrow we'll go through the childhood pastimes, Gauralila. This is just a warm-up for tomorrow. So when you hear the childhood pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you don't think of them as something ordinary, because they're not. When I'll go ahead. This is a painting of the wife of Advaitacharya. Her name was Sita. And when she came to see the childlike form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she could understand this golden, beautiful form. It's not just the daughter of Mother Sachi. You can see from the painting. She could see. This is Krishna. Just as child Krishna was in the lap of Mother Jasoda, so the personality of Godhead has appeared. Imagine the personality of Godhead in a little baby form. So small, he could sit on your lap and smile with beautiful lotus eyes and act in such a way that anybody and everybody would have to chant because he performed this pastime. The pastime that when persons would come into the home to see him, he would cry. But when he would cry, as soon as they started chanting, he'd stop crying and he'd smile. He'd hold up his arms and smile. And so they would clap and chant and chant and clap, and he would smile and raise his arms. And as soon as they stopped, he'd start crying again. So it became known in Navadvip, just go to Mother Sachi's house, it's this wonderful thing, this beautiful child, and just have kirtan all day long, and he smiles and smiles and smiles. He never cries. But as soon as you stop chanting, he'll start to cry. In this way, even in a childlike form, he was inducing others to chant the holy name. So we'll discuss his childhood pastimes tomorrow. And we'll see if there's any discussion on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so what we've discussed so far. With Leela, there's very rarely this discussion. Anyone? Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Jai.
Jai.